your requests be made known unto God. Join me over to Matthew chapter 6. Leave your keep your spot right there, because we're going to come back to that. We could put a man on the moon, but we can't get them to turn the microphone on from the back. Is there technology that'll do that? No. See, Dennis is back in the sound booth. No. Matthew chapter... See, I forgot to turn with all that. Matthew chapter 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If I were to ask, somebody move that back. If I were to ask who here struggles with worry, almost every hand would shoot up. We would grin nervously with those don't look at me grins, right? It would be a very easy thing for us to kind of chuckle about, oh yeah, brother, I struggle with worry. But if I were to say, hey, pop your hand up if you struggle with anger, well, there would be a lot less acceptance of that. We'd be a little bit more nervous. How about that dart of lust that we talked about? How many hands do you think we would see if I asked about that? I would dare say probably not many. Perhaps one if we were feeling honest enough. But the reason why we are much more confident in talking about our worry is because we perceive that it happens more often. It is the more socially acceptable sin because everybody worries, don't they? The difference is that worry is more respectable. We think so little of it as to make it more of a joke than any of the other sins we can think of because it happens so often. FDR said that there is nothing to fear but fear itself, and we should say the same thing about worry. The only thing that should make you worry is if you are worried, if you're beginning to feel worried. Worry does us no good. It does not help us with the problem and makes solving the problem that much harder. It's almost like, can I carry all of these grocery bags? I don't know. Let's try it with the tire as well. You're adding more weight to the problem and expecting the solution to become easier because we've spent all this time overthinking something into the ground. Now, that's not to say that we should be complacent in our responsibilities. To where we would say, well, I won't go to the grocery store, I won't go to work, I won't cash my pension check, because I believe that God's going to handle everything. Now, we still handle our responsibilities. A story is told about a farmer who had a fox getting into his chickens. So he built a barbed wire fence around the chickens. And sure enough, just as he got rid of the foxes, the chicken hawks would come swooping down. So he built a top to it. And for whatever reason, something was still digging under the ground, getting up into it. So he moved the fences down. He put a cement barrier at the bottom, dug down deep, poured cement into it, trying everything he could to stop the animals from getting into his chickens. Finally, he spent countless nights with his .22 sitting out by his chicken coop, waiting for something to come and get his chickens. Well, the next morning, he fell asleep in his chair waiting for something to come get the chickens, and he woke up and all the chickens were dead. For all of his fear-mongering and all of his worry and all the things that he did to try to solve a problem that he really didn't have much evidence for, he neither fed the chickens nor watered them. And that is how we solve the problems in our lives. We get so worried about what's going to happen, we let go of the responsibilities we have in making sure things go right. We hang on to the responsibilities. That's not worry. Handling, being a good steward of what God has given you, that's good. It's when I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and I know what God has asked me to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm still sitting here going, oh, but what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? What a horrible way to live. That I would sit there and challenge God's sufficiency. That would challenge God's ability to keep His promise to make sure I have all that I need. Seeing a problem, researching it, planning to take it down, and fulfilling that plan is a godly thing. Sitting up half the night wringing your hands over whether or not there is anything you can do more about the problem is sin. That's what it is. If I sit there and I have no peace and I have no comfort and I have no faith, that is not a good place to be in. As we see in the book of Matthew, of all the things that God does, all right, for the lily of the field, for the grass, and for the fowl of the air, are ye not much better than they? Are you not better? See, worry has some effects. Worry says keep your eyes on the stuff. We're commanded to be good stewards and to take care of things. And I acknowledge that I need to do certain chores to take care of the things that I have. But Jesus instructs us in this passage that we need not to worry about the stuff. Don't overthink the stuff. To a person who worships things, things are all that matters. Not just can I feed my family, but can we buy steak? Are we at McDonald's or are we at a fancy Italian place? The stuff matters. The kind of stuff. How much of the stuff. It all matters. I was dealing with a lady. She'd be what we would call a hoarder. And in talking to her, trying to get her to understand, forgive me while I clean up a little bit, but trying to get her to understand that she can't live in there, that the stuff is going to kill her. I walked in and it was piled all the way up to the ceiling and wobbling as we were walking through. I'm like, that big appliance up there is going to come down on you. Those are my treasures. You can't get to them. You can't plug them in. And I'm pretty sure if you did plug them in, it'd burn the place down. Those are my treasures. To her, it is an accelerated idea of what a lot of people have on a micro level. My stuff is my treasure. And I have to have my stuff, right? If I don't sit up worrying about how we're going to buy groceries, we'll never be able to buy groceries. If I don't sit there and stress out about this promotion, I'll never be able to have a promotion. How will God know what to do if I don't sit there and wring my hands and say this will never happen? He doesn't need a backseat driver. You know, I recently found out that my mom's been listening to my sermons, so I'm in trouble. But I tell you what, you know who the absolute worst person on earth was to learn how to drive with? My mom. Want to know why? Because we got into thousands of accidents we never got into yet. You understand what I mean? If she loses her voice at the end of her age, it is because I stole it from her when I was 16. Now, I was careful. I am a careful driver, right? But if I don't stop within at least 100 feet of the red light, we went through it in her eyes. And you ever get into that position where you can't tell if it's the brakes squealing or if it's the person next to you? And there's that joke that one comic does where they were driving down and all you heard was this coming out of the car, and it was the parent stomping on the imaginary brake. I had that. She did that and the sound effect. Mom, we're still in the driveway. We're fine. Not even in the car yet. Not, but the worry and the fear and the anxiety over things that do not matter. You know, we have certain fears. Well, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Listen, God gave us rules for stewardship. Things we're supposed to be doing. And you know what? The world has lost sight of things like personal responsibility and integrity and all the things that used to make the world go round. Well, what I would love is to see that generation that went through the Great Depression, right? Grab the current group of people by the ear and teach them how to live. We were joking in the back, Brother Dennis and I, about minimum wage, right? You said hiring over at Kroger for $12.80, right? $12.80. You know what I would have done in high school for $12.80? I was married. We found out that Danielle was pregnant with Xander, and I was making $9 an hour. $12.80, and they're walking away from it. I could only imagine going home. Well, Matt, you going to work? Tell my dad, Matt, you going to work today? Ah, you know what? It smells there, Dad. You don't understand. I can't work there. I sweat yesterday. I can't work there, Dad, because it makes me feel sad. Can we raise your hand if you were ever sad at work? Raise your hand if you made it to the end of the day anyway. And if you're still alive today. You know what makes me real sad? Foreclosure notices. Eviction notices. Which are inevitable when you don't work. If I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, I could expect to worry about things. Because you're sitting when you should be going. You're disobeying when you should be. If I'm a church member and I'm not tithing, I should expect God to come around on that conversation, right? I should expect to have to worry. But if I'm abiding in the things I'm supposed to be abiding in, and I'm a good steward of the things I'm supposed to be a good steward of, I could trust that God's going to take care of me. I've gone to work where I say, hey, listen, this is what God wants of me. This is what you want me to do, and I can't do that. All right, well, we're going to fire you. And I've sat for months waiting to get fired, and it never happened. Now, I've had other friends who have taken that stand. They were fired, and in their complete sadness, got a job opportunity that paid almost double what they were originally making. That's how God works. Do you really think if I'm going to watch the birds and I'm going to make sure the flowers have something to wear this spring, I'm going to leave you out in the cold? Now, is it always going to be pretty? Am I going to have the best of stuff? Am I going to have just the most fantastic of things? No. Right? I didn't have a brand new suit probably until I was almost 20. Everything I had was hand-me-downs. And I was proud of it. I was proud of it. And I'll be honest, you know, the computer that I had before, the one y'all just bought, was the first new computer I'd ever really had. And even that was a couple years behind the curve, right? All my friends, they would be getting the brand new Nintendo, while my dad was like, well, here, let me find that Atari we had. You pull the Atari out. My friends would, oh, we're getting the PlayStation 1, the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 3. And by then I'm like, well, there's no keeping up. Our house, we never even caught up to the Wii. I didn't get a Wii until I was married and we got extra money. Somebody gave us a gift. We're like, you know what, we're going to get a Wii. And then we realized we're grown-ups and we're not going to play it. But all joking aside, are you going to have the best? No. My belly was filled many a night with ramen. My belly was filled many a night with promises of food tomorrow. But look, am I dying? You know what I mean? I went to college. I went like 2 or 3 days sometimes. No food while I was waiting to find a job. All right, down in Cincinnati at the place, you either had to work at a restaurant because, again, they had the college there. Everybody had college jobs. You ended up working at a restaurant where you had to serve beer or liquor or something like that, and I wouldn't do it. It was hard. You'd go 2 or 3 days. Has God failed in his promise to me? Now, I know it's funny, but it's the truth. I never went hungry. there'd be people, they come over, hey brother, we want to take you out to dinner. Oh no, I'm come on out to dinner. They didn't know I didn't have any food. They didn't know. Every now and then I'd get care packages from home, I have little snacks, and I'd show up to class with snacks. They had no idea. And trust me, I didn't look any thinner than I do now. Right? Come on, brother, take it out. They didn't know I needed it. God did. And he impressed upon their heart. Listen, it's not always going to be pretty, but there will be food. It's not always going to be what you want or what you expect, but there will be a roof. And other people say, well, I'm not happy with just the meager of things. Do you think God's just going to leave you at the meagerest of things? That is what he offers? God doesn't run the eternal soup kitchen. He blesses and blesses and blesses. Yes, there are times where it's going to be some low spots, but you stay faithful in the low spots and watch him bring you up to the higher spots. That's what he does. Many of you are sitting here right now. You've got gas in your car. You've got a house full of food. And if you don't have a house full of food because you're a bad cook, you know where to get food, right? You know where the good restaurants are. We have those things because that's how God treats us. We abide in good stewardship. We abide in giving and tithing. And God gives us what we need, and abundantly more so. I've never been at a point where I could point to my life and say there are no blessings from God right now. He always doles out his blessings. See, worry says keep your eyes on the stuff. God says, I have the stuff covered. Don't worry about it. Because that is what we want to worry about. Right? Isn't that what the devil worried Jesus about when he tempted him? And one of the things that he brought, hey, listen, turn these rocks into bread. You need food. Turn them into bread. Jesus gave him scripture. All right, listen, come on over here. Jump off of this thing and God's going to protect you. Jump. No, I'm going to do that. All right, see all this? I will give you all of this if you... No, some more scripture. See, that's the thing. You can't try to get something from somewhere else when God owns it all. He doesn't need a rock to turn into bread. He can just get bread. He was doing something on purpose. And we can't get confused in that idea. That I need to find my needs somewhere other than God. He owns it all. He controls it all. But what happens if the government makes it to where we're going to have a hard time finding food? I'm not worried. Do I have the answer? Can I tell you specifically? No. Yeah. You know, what happens if the delivery stopped coming to Kroger? What happens if all the Meijers shut down? What happens if you go to the Walmart and not even that has food? What's going to happen? I don't know. All I know is what I'm supposed to do, and God will take care of the rest. Now, I may have to be smart. I may have to use some of the intelligence God gave me. And hey, some of us may have to plant some food. We may have to handle some business. But all the same, God's not going to take everything away from us. He's not going to let us starve. But what if there's no place to live? What if the money runs out? What if this? What if that? Have you ever experienced grace from the Lord at all? I almost kind of want to ask. Has God ever given you grace when you needed it? When you had no solution and one just showed up, a friend or a family member, there at just the right time? And I'll even say this, if God compels you to help somebody, that's your opportunity, that's your moment. Because you have no idea what it is they're going through. Well, I've had just for whatever reason, don't worry sir, it's for free. They didn't know what I was going through. They didn't know what was happening in my life. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Oh, what's that? Here. Can you just put some gas in your car? They don't know. And you know what? So I acknowledge now that the Lord has taken care of me. You folks have taken care of my family to a certain point. To where now, every now and then, when I get that urge, guess what? Lord, I'll do it. Thank you. You know what? Hey, pay for this person's lunch. Okay, here. It happens. When the Lord compels you to help, you help. Because you never know who needs grace. Now, how about mercy? Grace is a gift that's not expected. What about mercy? I know a lot of people out there that are under the gun of their bills. They're under the gun of their medical bills or their rent or something like that. What do we do? Sometimes we've got to show some mercy. And that's what that kind of gift is. I am so glad that God not only gave grace, but he gave me mercy for the mistakes that I made myself. God takes care of his own. Now we have to trust him. We have to be patient. We have to obey him. And sometimes we go through the hardships because of that disobedience. But he cares for us and he takes care of us. But what about all the things that I want? Now here, listen, I will tell you this. God has fulfilled all of my needs. He's fulfilled a lot of my wants. But some people like to shoot for the moon with their wants. Right? Well, my brother, he's got this brand new truck, and it's this model, and I've got this old one. So, you know, the Lord didn't bless me that way, and so I'm going to give less until I can. Want, want, want. Life is more than stuff. A heart that worries and stresses over not being blessed enough doesn't deserve the blessings they have. While we are told to expect God to take care of us, it's a whole different matter for us to demand that God gives us everything that we want. We repeat that understanding that life is more than bread. It's more than fast cars and $1,000 suits. It's more than jewelry and fine handbags. More than expensive trips and yachts to exotic places. Listen, we can appreciate the stuff of life. But if God gives you more than you need, we need to lift those things up and praise him for them and not cry because we don't have them. We're promised sufficient. Anything above and beyond that is not an expectation. It's not something we deserve. It's a gift. And that gift ought to humble us. We ought to be able to lift that up to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this. Right, Brother Dennis? Acknowledge him in this. Thank you. Right? I love that illustration this morning. Well, what about us? Well, of course, thank you. But who do you think gave you the ability to do it? Right? I wrote that down. I'm going to use that later when everybody forgets you used it. Thank you, Lord, for putting this into my life that I can have this. But we should never have getting gross amounts of money or things be on the list of reasons that we expect from God or things we expect from God. Now, the most time where you see people worry is this, though. What if something bad happens? What if something happens to me? What if something happens to my family? What happens if something happens to the kids and it keeps us up and it stresses us and it worries us? Can I tell you something? Go ahead and feel free to wake up and look at me for a second. Bad things are going to happen. Except in the rapture, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. Inevitably, I'm going to have a last day. Inevitably, my children will have a last day. Now, it is my desire that I get to go first. And that's what I want. I should be what we can trust on, but that's not the way the land of the dying works. Something bad's going to happen. We're going to get sick. We're going to lose a job every now and then. We're going to struggle. We're going to get a bad grade. We're going to have a hard time. We're going to have arguments and fights with people that we care and love about. We might get into a car wreck. I know bad things are going to happen. And you know what? I can't predict what those things are. I can't predict when they're coming. And you know what? All I can do is prepare my heart with faithfulness and trust to God as best I can before they get here. That's all I can do. See, when my kids get scared, they don't get as far away from me as they can. They're adventurous. My kids are adventurous. They will go. And they will run. But if something scary happens, what do they do? What did you do when you were a kid? You ran right over to your dad. My dad was not a touchy-feely guy, but if we were walking around up north in the woods in the dark, it was like he had two cats hanging on to him. Me on this side, my brother on the other side, there wasn't a hand free for the flashlight. You ever hold the flashlight for your dad and just get that? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get as close to the Father as I can. Because I can't predict when it's going to happen. I can't predict what's going to happen. I know I'm going to get a bad phone call. I know I'm going to get sucker punched one day. I know tough stuff's happening, so I got to start getting tough now. I've got to be able to handle this. And I've got to be trusting in the Lord now. or else things are only going to get worse when they happen. Where would you rather be, close to the answer or farthest from it, when you need it the most? Mark Twain said, I have had many troubles in my life. Most of them I've never experienced. Or the poem that I like is, most things that make us fear and fret are things that haven't happened yet. You spend your entire life terrified and worried about things that are never going to happen. Right? So I know that there will be bad things that happen, but I also know that most of it is my creative imagination going wild. And I got to rein that in. Well, what happens if the government and the Joe Biden and the grocery stores and the COVID and all? Be prepared. Be smart. But don't sit there worried. We have no idea. And I do remember when COVID came, and I tell you what, nobody knew what was going on with it. I still don't think most of them know what to do with it or what it is. I still think they're still learning. But man, I was terrified to go to work with everything going on, because most people, you could work from home. My job, I had to work there on certain days because they passed bills into the slot. Well, not bills, but checks into the slot. I had to go get the checks. Now, do you know how people people make checks out to a rental office? They will put it into the envelope, and they will full-on ice cream cone that thing, and then put that in there. I've never been so worried about a paper cut in my life, right? Because the horrible things they were saying, we'd have meetings. Listen, if you touch these bills and they've got COVID, you'll get COVID. And if you look sideways at somebody with COVID, you'll get COVID. And at one particular time, they're telling us not to wear masks. So you're walking around without a mask. You need to wear a mask or you're going to get COVID. Oh, put the mask back on, and you're worried about all that time without it. Worry, worry, worry. No, there are smart things I can do. There are intelligent responses I can have, but worry is not one of them. Right? Now we've got that set up in our church. All right, we got masks at the door, hand sanitizers all over. We've got the area outside with the thing piped out there. We've got ways to avoid trouble. Worry is not going to stop COVID. Whether you're for masks or against masks, we can all agree that worry is a horrible filter. Is the worst one you got. They're sitting saying, well, that N95 won't work and that cotton mask won't work. Worry won't work at all. It won't. Be smart, be intelligent, be watchful, be mindful. But why worry? Right? You'll sit there, you'll do everything you can to escape COVID. You'll get a worse disease on the side. Well, let's not worry about things. Now listen, I want to put extra emphasis on being intelligent and stuff. Right? People are useless with their money. People are useless with their stuff. People are useless with their tools. Right? We can't be that way. We need to be intelligent, but at the same time, we have no right to worry over whether or not something bad's going to happen. It does us no good. So barring aside the worry of the bad things, worry has some long-term effects in us. First and foremost, I would want to put out that worry says that God is not sufficient. Now let that one sit for a second. Worry says that God is not sufficient. I'm not saying that there is a little bug called worry in you that is saying something. I'm saying that when we worry, we are saying that God is not sufficient. You could blame it on your brain. You could blame it on your past. You could blame it on your mom. It will not matter. When we exercise worry, we are telling God that He is not sufficient to handle our problems. To worry says that He is limited in His ability to do anything, and that even if there was something He could do, He probably wouldn't. Going back to what we read here in Matthew chapter 6, O ye of little faith. Again, that's God in a box, isn't it? Oh, now when the real worry comes, I got to put God back in my box and put Him over here, because if I'm not stressing over this, there'll be no solution. Because you know what? This is a big problem. This is something that I'll ask God about, but I'm not going to go back to Him for. We pray for things as a church. We cannot guarantee the answers. That's not how it works. But whether God says yes, no, or wait, worry is a waste of time. You are letting ill feelings like panic and anxiety host a talent show in our hearts when all it is show and absolutely no talent whatsoever. Right? We're giving host to things that do us no good. If I held up my part and handled my responsibilities, all that's left is to wait. I like this quote, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. That's really all we're doing. I don't have a rocking chair up here, but that's really what it is. We're just sitting there. We're just rocking back and forth on it, thinking over and over and over things that really could have used about 5 minutes worth of work, and then you step back. There are other people who are not afraid that God's not going to answer, but their worry is stemmed around the idea that God's not going to answer or do it their way. And that's where I would tell that person to consider or reconsider who you think is more all-knowing, you or God. You want God to help you, but you only want him to do it your way that was developed based off of your limited ideas. Your way was developed based off of your knowledge of both the situation and your desires. But your information... Excuse me, but if your information is wrong and your desires are flawed, you're asking for a worse problem than the one you're already in. What general goes into battle with limited knowledge of the enemy? Who goes in to fix a problem without the instructions? Now, I know the old joke, men, we don't like instructions, right? Can I tell you a secret? I use instructions a lot more than I think I should for a man. Now, not IKEA instructions. IKEA instructions and those who make them, they can go to jail for all I care. Right? But I go by, who does that? Well, I'm going to guess. Have you ever tried to guess at something without looking at how to do it properly? You're using your understanding of things, and you're sitting there next to the thing, and you're showing your wife a handful of spare parts going, look at all the parts I saved. And then 2 months later, the thing breaks. You see, it's cheap. It's how you do it, right? There's nothing wrong with my understanding. There's nothing wrong with my craftsmanship. There's a problem with the thing. When in all actuality, God gives us ways to approach the problems in our lives. And we are failing to follow the instructions and then throwing our hands up at God going, well, look, you did it wrong. We need to reconsider. We need to be a little bit more respectful in what we expect from God and a little bit more respectful in how we respond to what happens. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen, all things are going to work out for good. They may not work out for your approval, but they will work out for good. And you have to understand that you might not know what good is with your limited knowledge of the situation. We might even know what we should expect for right now, but we don't know what's coming in the future. God does. We must trust and rely on his answer. So what's the cure? How do I fix worry? All right, I've gone to it's no longer funny. I understand that it's borderline blasphemy. What do I do to fix my worry? Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Acknowledge the reality of your situation. Number one, you're never as a child of God going to come across a circumstance where God is not invested in the outcome. You may feel lonely. You may feel hopeless, but you are neither of those things. God is in your corner. David hid in a cave, many caves actually, and he had to go through that process a couple times where everyone sought his life. And he still wrote the most poetic and beautiful words. Why? Because whether it was a bear, whether it was his son, whether it was Saul, it did not matter. God rescued him. God came to his answer. God came to his aid. God is invested. Stop worrying about the food. Stop worrying about your job. Stop worrying about the government. Do what you're supposed to do. Handle your responsibilities and then leave it at the throne. Lord, I did the logistics. I used my hands and my body and my mind. And now that my part is over, this is yours. Even when it comes down to our bodies, most of our prayer request list right now are people who are ill. I took the medicine. I saw the doctor. I changed the diet. I did everything, and now it's up to you. And when we can get to that point, we can move on to the next one. But that's the point we got to get to first. I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm not going to worry it any further than that. You ever see somebody mess with things and then they re-mess with things and they're decorating stuff? Typically, you kind of see that with decorations. All right, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit more. Over here to the... Stop it! It's nice! And that's why I think God says to us so often, stop. You're worrying, you're fussing, you did it. It's there, you did what I asked you to do, now leave it alone, I don't need you from here. We're headed down to the Bible conference. And it was the closest Bible conference we ever went to. Now, we had my mom in the car, and Danielle is the only one small enough to get all the way into the back of the van with the kids. So she's in the back, but she's navigator. Right? You know me. Only parts of my brain work at certain times. I can't daydream, drive a car, and watch the navigation at the same time. That's her job. She's in the back. I'm in the front. I'm talking to my mom, I'm talking to the kids, she's talking to the kids, and she's trying to direct the navigation from the back. And I am getting it just a little too late. Not because she's saying it too late, but because by the time she said it enough times for me to have heard it, it's too late. The first time was perfect, the second time was a near miss, and then the third time when she's yelling it at me, I'm already passing the turn. We need to follow the directions. Now, you know what? I'm sitting there, and in front of my mom. Well, hon, I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to tell. In front of my mom. She says, well, if you had the directions in front of you instead of back here, this would go a whole lot easier. You believe she said that to me? Going to just sit there and make all that sense in front of my mom make me look so bad. She looked over at me. She goes, oh, she got you. Isn't that the truth? Here, this is what God wants me to do. So I'm going to leave that open. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read to get my stuff done. But I'm working over here. I'm dealing with the problems in the family. I'm dealing with the problems at work. I'm dealing with the problems going on over here that I'm a part of. And all the time, the directions are sitting over there. And I'm not going to them in the morning. And I'm not taking the breaks to study that I'm supposed to. And I'm not putting the effort into looking into it. You know, sometimes we talked about Bible study this morning. Sometimes you need an impromptu Bible study. When stuff jumps up at you, you go, how do I fix this? You know what? Well, I'm going to cut aside all what I was studying. Sorry, Daniel, we'll get back to you later. We're going to get to this problem right now and we'll get back to my study on Daniel later. Because I got to figure out how to solve this. Hey, brother so-and-so. Hey, pastor, how do I... Hey, you know what? When you went through this problem, how did you... And we address those things. But to worry and to fuss and to fret over things that should be sitting in God's lap is a hurtful waste of time. Verse 26 tells us to consider the provision that God has given around us. If God's taken care of the birds, and he's taken care of the flowers, and he's blessed you up to this point now, where do you think he went? Do you think he ran out of blessings at the birds? You think you used up your stored allotment of blessings? That doesn't work that way. God continues on. We need to consider the blessings that he's given us. Has he ever failed you yet? Oh, you might not have gotten what you wanted, But God is God. He's not Santa Claus. You might not have gotten the board game you wished for, but God worked that situation out for good, and we have to admit that. We got to change our way of thinking, right? Go back to Philippians chapter 4. See, I told you we were going back. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. J. Adams came up with this term. He was wrote a lot of books on Christian counseling. And he came up with, coined this phrase, placosis. And that is when we take a verse and we put it on a plaque in our house and we build entire lifestyles off of that plaque. But when we put the verse back into context, our philosophies make no sense whatsoever. Can you spot the plaque in this one? Right? As verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, wait a minute. Wait. I'm worried. Yeah, you're worried. Does it say that you'll never worry? No, it says the peace that passeth all understanding. I'll always have a peace that passeth all understanding. Hold on. There's a step process here we're missing. Number one, make your request. Supplications, requests, make your requests. Well, Pastor, I've asked God about this 9 times, and now I have less peace than ever. One more part. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. A prayer that would pretty much amount to this. Lord, please help me with this. Give me wisdom. Give me guidance. Work a miracle. Whatever is needed. And I thank you for the answer that you'll give me, no matter what that answer is. And we don't just say it. We work our hearts to mean it. Sometimes you hear something so bad that happened in someone's life, all you can pray is that God give them the grace to bear it well. And that's what that prayer of thanksgiving is. Thank you for whatever you're about to do and make my heart right with it. Help me to see the genius in it because I'm limited. I'm selfish. I'm one-track minded. Lord, open me up to see your vision of it. And I will thank you for it. That we would be thankful for God's involvement no matter what it is. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for whatever you decide to do. And I'll tell you what, it's okay to praise the Lord for an answer regardless of not knowing what that answer is going to be, right? Those are God's 3 answers. Yes, no, and wait. We hate no, we loathe wait. At least tell me yes or no now so I can start to worry about other things. Wait just leaves me in suspense. I don't know if I should worry. No, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. God's already got it figured out. He doesn't need your tears and your frustration to help him. Instead, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do. And I praise you for being so good. Because I've passed religions that still stick to the old ways of things, that pray before candles and statues and stones. Gods that neither hear nor care about their problems. My God beat me to my problems. The biggest one I had was going to hell. And long before I drew breath, he already handled that problem. Tell me about your grocery bill. If God could send his son to die on the cross for my sins long before I was born, tell me about that flat tire on your car. Tell me about your medical issue now. What's the worst that could happen? Eternity in heaven. What happens if somebody comes in and they take offense to us and they shoot up the building? What's the worst that could happen? Heaven. You can do whatever you want with this. The next part's covered. I've got no cause for worry. And every cause for thanksgiving. Now sometimes, we get to all that and say, I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm having a hard time getting across into the peace that passeth all understanding part. Well, here's where we need to check what's going on up here. Because sometimes we're still not submitting. We've got the idea, we've got the practice, but we're still not fully submitting that urge over. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Wait a minute, that goes with the verse, yeah. That's not just another random thing we can toss up on a plaque. That's not just for my coffee mug. That's for my worries. So now I'm sitting here with these thoughts running through my head. And the question is it true? Is it honest or honorable? Is it just? Is it pure? Lovely? Is there any good report to it? What about virtue? Is there anything to praise God for in this? Those are the things we think about. If they don't pass that test, we don't think about them. So many people, they get worried about things that aren't even true. They're not even true. And we get all flustered about it. They don't pass the first test. What is true? God gave me the ability to make it this far. Okay, well, what happens next? I don't know. I did everything else I know I can do. I've asked God for it. I've thanked Him for His answer, whatever it is. But I can rest in the thought that somewhere between here and there, God's going to give me another little bit longer to go. Or at the very least, maybe the rapture will happen. Right? I heard somebody, they were telling that joke. I think it was a pastor was telling a joke about a couple that were doing their finances together. They're sitting down there talking about the bills. All right, now listen. If we do this, and we do this, and we do this, we can make it to payday. But if the Lord comes sooner, we can go out to eat. We get stressed. All I know is what God told me to do, right? All I know is how far I can go. All I know are what tools I have at my disposal. I can think on the things that I do know. What things are true? What about honorable things? What about just things? What about pure things? What in this situation falls under those categories? And I think on those things. And you better believe when I get down to the bottom of this thing, is there any praise? Yes, there's praise. It always could be worse. Thank you, Lord. I know that you listen to me. Thank you. Because it's much better than doing this without you. There are things to think on. There are things to focus on. We ought to be about those things. Well, brother, that's hard for me to do. You know, there's a lot of things that are hard to do when you first try to do them. That's why we practice. Now, thankfully, or regrettably, one of the two, this world gives us a lot of things to practice when it comes down to not worrying. If you don't have anything to worry about now, just wait a little bit. You'll get that temptation. You can test to see how well you know it. But what I'm going to do is when I get to that worry, I'm going to acknowledge what it is. I'm going to look at it from an angle of what's my responsibility to solve this, right? What do I do next? And once those are fulfilled, I do nothing else. Now, if the Lord shows me another opportunity, another thing that I can do to try to, I go ahead. But what I don't do is, well, it's never going to work and this is going to be bad. Case in point, I kind of hinted at this morning and I shouldn't have done it that way. But I was talking to Sister Armstrong over there at Lake Road. And she sits on the Mount Morris board. And she said that they've been getting some phone calls from some people that want that lot over there to put in possibly a marijuana dispensary type place. Now, I can't prove that they're anywhere with that. But it bothers me. Some of you remember what it was like when there was just a bar there. Could you imagine what would happen when something that takes you a little bit farther goes in there? And again, we can think of what that does to the area, what kind of traffic's going to happen, how many people are going to... We daydream all day. And can I confess something to you as a church, as a church that I'm a member of? I let too much of my time go to that this afternoon. I sat down to lunch with my family and I wasn't even at the table. You understand? My body was there. My hand was on the fork. I was in proximity, but I was over there in that parking lot. Why? You let worry get the best of you. See, some of you think I'm joking when I say I only preach on myself. I'm over there. Do I have any business over there? I don't. whether they build it there, whether they put a Chuck E. Cheese there, whether they put, they can put four bars over there. And it shouldn't change how I feel right now. Now, do I have some responsibilities? Yeah, I got some responsibilities. I got a brand new checklist of things I'm going to keep doing. And I'm going to be the funnest neighbor they've ever had if they try to put somebody over there. Respectful, legal, nice, good representative of the Lord, but a thorn in the side all the same. I know how to do this. I know how to handle this sort of thing. I've worked with city council people before and things like that to get. I know how they work. I know the dirty stuff that goes on, and I know just where to put the flashlight to stop certain things from going. I know this stuff. Do I have to worry? I don't have to worry. What if they do? What if they bulldoze that down and they put one over there? What if they put a bar across the street? What if they put a certain kind of bar across the street? Get over it. I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. I'll show up to some council meetings. I'll go over and I'll shake some hands. I'll get to know some folks in the township. I'll do whatever I can. But you know what I shouldn't do? Worry. Oh, what if the Lord doesn't save my kids? What if they never bring them back? What if this never gets fixed? What if... Well, it sure is good that you're worrying, because how will God know to fix the problem if you're not over there crying about it? Do what you're supposed to. Make your request. Handle your responsibility, but make that request in thanksgiving. And run that test through whatsoever things. Run that test through over what's going on in your mind. Is this true? No, I'm not thinking about it. What is true? Let's think about those things. What's honorable? Is this honorable? No. What is honorable about the situation? That. Okay, so let's focus on this. So that at the end, we could be worry-proof in our actions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the...